Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, tomorrow is International Stuttering Awareness Day, and the point of it isn't just to draw your attention to the 50,000 people or so in Ireland who have a stammer, but also how best to communicate with them. Dr. Jonathan Linklater is a speech therapist and development manager of the Irish Stammering Association. Jonathan, good afternoon for you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Do they know what causes stammering?
Stammering would be, there'd be a genetic element to it. So we know that it runs in families. Even if it may not seem to run in your family, there will be a genetic predisposition there. And then experiences in early childhood would lead it to continue sometimes. So we'd see 5% or between 4 and 8% of children would stutter. And then lots of them would recover or resolve, but you then end up with 1% of adults.
Right, okay. Okay, yeah, because you would hear kids stuttering a lot more.
Do,
that's
and you
true.
Get, kids are learning language as well, so there's a lot of that. And that's one of the things we would say in the professions, giving a kid a chance to talk and not trying to correct them, not trying to hurry them up, because that can make them more conscious of it when they're not really conscious of they've got a difficulty. So if we can give people time and space, that would be that would be our message.
Yeah. And it's genetic then. And does that mean that if a parent has a stammer, that it's more likely that you'll get one? Or could it be that it could be a great-grandparent?
It could be great-grandparents. So in my case, I've looked back through the family, spoke to lots of relatives and nobody else stutter. So I just got lucky from that point of view. But obviously we can't go back and see if Auntie Mary stuttered when she was a child, because there's nobody around from that period of time to tell us if Auntie Mary stuttered when she was a child, because they were long gone at this stage. So it seems to be like the evidence is saying that it's genetic and we are predisposed. And then, as you can hear with my speech as well, it's still happening. Obviously, I'm on radio at the moment, so it's slightly more stressful than average conversation, but it happens at different times. There's a neurological element to it. Stuttering, it just happens occasionally, you know?
Mm. And does it vary for people in the sense that there's different parts of speech they have difficulty with, or different vowels they have difficulty with, that kind of thing?
It can be learned to an extent, as in your experience of saying things can lead you to feel things are more difficult. But I would often say stuttering is about saying something important to someone important. So that can be ordering a cappuccino, because the word cappuccino then becomes the thing you want.
Yes.
And that's hard to go in. And you can't go out and say to your friend that they ran out of cappuccinos, because that's not how coffee shops work.
Yeah.
So definitely there's a learned experience of people would find words more difficult over time, or they can find words more difficult over time, or they can find specific sounds will become tricky. But there's nothing inherently difficult about any of the sounds. It's more of the fear of stuttering. People are afraid of stuttering. They're afraid of that judgment in the conversation. And that's that level of fear increases stress in speaking situations.
So in your work then, would you find people avoiding saying different particular words, or avoiding some situations altogether?
Definitely. There'll be huge avoidance. Avoidance reduction therapy is what I do as a speech and language therapist. And that's something I've found beneficial over my time as well. But if people think people often try not to stutter. So that's because society over thousands of years has seen stuttering as a slightly bad thing, and people don't want to be judged on that front. So people will try not to stutter. But as soon as you try not to stutter, then you end up stuttering. So if I say to the listeners, don't think of a white bear, then people are going to start thinking of a white bear. So if they're going into that situation thinking, I can't stutter, that leads to that fear and ultimately avoidance of the might. Children may not say things in class when they know the answer. People might not order the food they want in a restaurant. And then if you look from a social or a employment point of view, people just may not speak up in work. They may not go for a job interview, and they may just limit themselves from that point of view.
Someone's texted in to say some stammers are acquired. A friend of mine developed a stammer as a result of preparing for First Holy Communion thanks to a less than friendly priest.
So I think probably the person may have become more aware of that. I think acquired stammering is more in adulthood, where people can have a stroke or head injury or some neurological condition. I think in childhood, stammering is often there, but the person may not be that aware of it. The reactions around them may lead to more stammering happening.
Mm. For people who don't have a stammer, when they, in your experience and the people you deal with, it seems like it makes people who are non-stammers uncomfortable.
It does, yeah. I think it can do. And I think that especially if the person themselves who is speaking is uncomfortable about stammering, I think that can make it more difficult. So we would always encourage listeners to try and be as receptive as they can, keep eye contact, be patient, try not to finish sentences, even though that's a perfectly normal human condition, which I may sometimes do as well. I will sometimes finish my friend's sentences. Mm-hmm. But in the case of stuttering, we would try to say, just leave that space and let the person get to where they're trying to go. Try not to give advice. Try not to say slow down. Take a deep breath.
Breathing. As if you'd never thought of that before.
Been breathing all of their lives so far, so we think they should be okay breathing at this point.
But, yeah. So in terms of as a speech therapist, how does one? Because you can't get rid of a stammer. It's something Correct. You have. You yep. don't have, I assume. Yep. So how do you accommodate people to be able to navigate their way through the world a bit more easily, I suppose?
I think starting with that message, which isn't always popular. I think some people come to speech therapy looking for fluency or looking to be fixed or looking to, and that was when I was a teenager. That's what I wanted. When I went to speech therapy as a teenager, I was like, I want to get rid of this before I go off to university. And the speech therapist was saying, not really, that's not possible. We have to accept it. And that wasn't easy to hear as a teenager, but I would try and talk around that with people, try to be more accepting and managing it. I think as long as it isn't limiting what you do, I mean, I say as a speech therapist to lots of people, I don't care if you stutter, but I care if it's holding you back and stopping you doing the thing. So
yeah.
Trying to be more, working through it, managing it, stuttering more easily, removing some of that struggle. And there's lots of techniques that can do that, but also reducing the isolation and getting to meet other people to show that you aren't the only person. And the sooner that can happen in childhood, I think that can have a big long-term impact.
Mm. So it's not just about perhaps helping with speaking a bit, but also helping with what your attitude towards it is, and transmitting that to the people who are listening to
you. The psychology. If you can care less about it, that's a bit of a cure to some extent. So stuttering is like an iceberg. We can see and hear part of it above the surface of the water, but underneath we have avoidance, embarrassment, fear, shame. And then spreading out from that, there's the reactions of people around you and trying to... Parents obviously want the best for their children, and they want to try and reduce the impact of this stuttering as much as they can. So sometimes it's parent education and educating teachers as well. That can be a big part of it.
Yeah. And I suppose if when you're at school and you're going through the school system, kids can be mean.
Yeah, I think it's not. I don't hear as many bad stories as I would have heard 10, 20, 30 years ago. But I think, it's being different. Like, we all like being different in a good way, but we don't want to be different in a way that people are going to judge us.
So,
yeah.
John says, my late father-in-law stammered when he spoke English, but when he spoke in his native Irish, he'd no bother.
Yeah, I've heard that kind of thing before, and I think different languages can have different effects on people. I don't say that's a therapy strategy because I have had
learn French. Yeah,
I've had people who say they have spoken a Scottish accent for a while and then they become fluent and then it fades away. So speaking in foreign accents or different accents may not always be a solution.
Yeah, you can't help but wonder because, as you say, there's a genetic component, but possibly he just felt uncomfortable speaking English.
Yeah, and different, the psychology of the language and the psychology of how he felt speaking each language could be could be tied into that. Again, it's how you feel about speaking in a situation.
Yeah. And someone else points out the jockey Katie Walsh had a stammer when she was younger.
Yeah.
Looking at her now, she's a pundit for RT Sport. But I assume, well, we don't know the specifics of her case. If she had it, she was younger, she maybe just grew out of it in the normal course of things.
Maybe it's that stuttering changes as you get older. Like my stuttering is so much more different to what it was when I was a kid. I don't struggle as much. Mm. It's still there. But yeah, it can change. And I think that's one of the messages we try and get out to people, that what it's like when you're younger doesn't have to stop you doing things when you're older.
Yeah.
Or even when you're younger as well. It's like your stuttering doesn't need to limit you.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to us today, Jonathan. That was Dr. Jonathan Linklater, a speech therapist and development manager for the Irish Stammering Association.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.